Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 20. I want to read one verse, Luke chapter 20 and verse 38. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. We were driving back from chapel one Sunday, and I seen a license plate that said, Live for God. It, of course, didn't say these all out. It was a combination of letters and numbers. But this is what it said, live for God. I would like to ask that anyone who makes that statement or puts a sign up in a window or puts a license plate on their car, and let me say it like this. I wonder if anyone before they make that statement or before they put it up in a window or on their car, have you ever asked the question, how do I live for God? This is certainly a valid question and one worth finding the answer to. Now, I realize that most people, when they hear this statement, they think about those things in which they can do for God. But they have already went far beyond the question. I think maybe the way we ought to ask the question is this way. How do I live before God? Scripture says, and it is plain as the nose on your face, as the saying goes. In Romans 5:12 it says, Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death, underline that word, by sin, and so death, underline that word, passed upon all men, underline those words, for that all, underline those that word, have sinned, underline that word. This is a very clear statement and one that does not take a lot of wits to understand what it says. This says that because of one man, and that one man would be Adam, sin entered into the world. This sin brought about death by this one man. By this, because this one man died, death passed upon all men, because all men have sinned. So if we are dead, and we are, if you are going to believe the Scripture, then how is it that we live? How is it that we get life? Someone might say, I'm not dead, I'm very much alive. They would be correct in saying that. Your flesh was born and it is alive until the day the body goes back into the ground. So how is it that we are dead? The Scripture also plainly says that to worship God, you must do so in spirit and in truth. You will not know the truth if you do not have the Spirit. Christ Himself, that is God, the one whom some say they want to live for, says this in John 4 and verses 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This flesh is not spirit. That which you are born with is not spirit. Adam in the garden, once he ate of the fruit, lost communion with God, and forever plunged all of us into death because of sin. Adam was no longer spiritual because of his sin, and this was passed to all men. God said this very thing to Adam. God told Adam this was going to happen, and it did, in Genesis 2 and verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God did not say to Adam in the day, if you eat of it. He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In the day, it says. The scripture is quite clear that this was actually one day, just like we have today. Today is one day. How do I know this is true? We can see this in the account of creation. God himself tells us this in Genesis 1, verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The scripture then goes through the 6 days that God purposed to create everything that exists. So when God told Adam in the day, God meant exactly what he said. That very same day, Adam, that very same day, Adam died spiritually. So that from that time on, everyone born to Adam is born dead in trespasses and in sin. That is what Romans 5 and verse 12 tells us. So how is it then that we can even think about living for God if we are dead to God? First, we must have spiritual life before we can have any kind of communion or worship of God. Let me give you another passage, because the scripture is full of this, just in case there is someone listening that might desire to hear the truth this morning. Chapter 3, verse 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's all it will ever be. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, we read, but the natural man, and the natural man is the flesh, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is how we are born into this world. This natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Again, I have to say, this is as plain as the nose on your face as to what Scripture says. There is no ambiguity in this verse. So somehow, those that are dead must somehow first be given life. There is no natural man that can decide that he will have life. Have you ever seen a dead man do anything? If a dead man could just lift his little finger, raise his eyebrow, lift his leg, then he could give himself life. In fact, if he could do this, then he is not dead at all, but alive. Before any man in this world can do anything towards God, he must have spiritual life. He cannot do this for himself. In this state, that is, dead in trespasses and in sin, he is fitted to destruction. In this state, he, and by saying he, I mean he or she, is an enemy of God. We are at enmity against God. We certainly cannot know this if we do not have life, because these are spiritual things, and the natural man will not and cannot know these things. If someone tells you all you have to do is exercise your free will to believe in God, they are lying to you. Believing in God is a spiritual thing, and the scripture is plain. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and neither can he know them. He cannot even know them to believe them, because they are spiritually discerned. Yet men and women today insist that they have a will that can decide to worship God or to live for God. There is no other way to say it but to say it this way. Those that do not believe this lie against God. Those who are saying this are liars and are not telling you the truth. So the next question someone might ask is this: well, how do I get this life? It is a good question to ask. The answer is also quite simple. In and of yourself, you cannot get this life. It has to be given by the Creator. He must give you life. He will only do this if He is pleased to do so. Jesus Christ is the only one who has the power of life because he is life itself. Life must come from him. There is only one way to know if you have been given life from God. Do you believe the record God gave of his Son? Do you believe Scripture when it says we are enemies of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God, and was he and he alone who accomplished salvation for sinners? There was a time when I did not know these things. I rebelled against this truth, being dead in my sins, and I could not do anything about it, although I may have sought it with tears. But there came a time when all of a sudden I could see what God was saying in his word. I was once blind, but now I see. The Almighty God was pleased to give me life, and in giving that life, there was some fruit that came along with this. I said fruit and not fruits. The one source of life is the source of all things. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So if you are to have love, then you must have God's Spirit giving you life. If you are to have any real joy, you must have his Spirit giving you life. If you are ever to have any real peace, then you must have his Spirit giving you life. If you are ever to be long-suffering, you will have to have his Spirit giving you life. If you are ever to have any gentleness, you must have his Spirit giving you life. If you are ever to have any goodness, you must have his Spirit giving you life. If you are ever to have faith, you must have his Spirit giving you life. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If you are ever to have any meekness, you must have his Spirit giving you life. And if you are ever to have any temperance, you must have his Spirit giving you life. So who is it that God gives this life to? The only answer to that question is whomever he is pleased to give it to. God does not love everybody. Again, the scripture is as plain as the nose on your face. In Romans 9, verses 10 through 13, we read this, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil." And I want to make sure and point this out in this scripture. It has nothing to do with what you do or do not do. And that is good or evil. What you do good or bad is not a factor for God choosing anyone. And it goes on to say that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, "The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." As most people respond to this, and as I first responded to this scripture, so does God expect you to respond, because he moved Paul to write down these very next words in verse 14 of Romans 9. "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?" The answer is, God forbid. So some might say, "Well, how can God be against me? How can I be condemned if God chooses just based on what he wills and purpose?" The answer is that you are dead in trespasses and in sin, an enemy of God. Most will bear this out because they will hate this truth. You will do what you want to do, and that is, you will not bow down to him, that is God, even though someone else tells you the truth. This is all of us by nature. But the glory is, by the grace of God, there are some who He is pleased that He chose. Even though those chosen were no better by nature, and in fact could be worse than others that He did not choose. But that would be worse or better before men, because God is not a respecter of persons. How you dress, what you make, whether you do good or you do evil, has no bearing on God choosing or doing anything for a dead alien sinner. It is all of His marvelous, wonderful grace. It is called grace because we did not merit it. We did not earn it. Those chosen were given grace by God. It is for those that this almighty, all-powerful God chose that He sent His Son, that is Jesus Christ the Lord, to die for them in their stead. Jesus Christ is God. God had to come down as a man, and He did, and the Scripture is also clear on this. It says in Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21, "But while He thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for, that is because, He shall save His people from their sins." Jesus Christ came to save His people, and His people only, those whom He chose. He came and suffered the shame of the cross and offered up Himself, being made sin for them, that they, those chosen by God, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The sacrifice He offered was accepted of God the Father. And Jesus Christ Himself tells us, it is finished. If God says it is finished, it is finished. Someone might ask, what is finished? That would be salvation is finished. Salvation is accomplished for His people. Salvation is not due. Salvation is done. Jesus Christ satisfied the justice of God. Since sin must be punished, He did this for those whom He chose and died the death that they should have died. Now, since salvation is accomplished, one of the things left to do is to let those know this. And those would be the ones for whom He died, those chosen of God. When we believe, this salvation is not toward God, it is toward us, that is, to us. We now know what He has done, and it saves our soul, and we have peace toward God. If we are in Christ, we are accepted in Him when He was accepted. Those chosen, those for whom He did this, would be the ones who He gives life. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And again in Colossians 2 and verse 13 we read, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." The only way you will ever know Him and be able to live for God is to live by God. My friends, if you believe this truth, then you are born of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him." What this is saying is that if you believe the truth that I have just spoken to you, then you are born of God. Not only that, but if you are one of those who love Jesus Christ who gave you life, then you will love others who have been given life from God, those whom love this gospel. God must give you spiritual life before you ever live for Him. Luke 20 and verse 38 says, "For he isn't," that's our text, "for he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him." I also want to be clear and make this point. God does not need anything from us. Our living for God is because of God himself giving us life. And that which we do for him is to bow down to this almighty, sovereign creator who has saved our very souls from hell and damnation. Our doing for him is worshiping him for what he has done, and our doing for him looks to nothing we do for him. We are to give all praise, honor, and glory to Jesus Christ the Lord, for it is he who has done everything. So maybe it is that you want to live for God. I ask you, can you bow down to him as sovereign Lord, who has and does all things right? I know there are a lot of people out there that like to play church, but this is no game. He holds every breath you take in his hands. Scripture says he kills and makes alive. Do not think God has to do something for you at your own good time. It may just be that he is not pleased to do anything for you. I do hope that there are some listeners out there who love God. But if you do love God, it is all because of what he has done. Scripture tells us what love is, and Christ personifies that love. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 we read, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." If we know this love, if this is the love we have for God, what does it go on to say? "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Those whom are born of God, who believe and love the God of Scripture, are those for whom we care about. If we do this, it is all because of what he has done. It is cause and effect. God does something first, which then moves us to those things. 1 John 4 and verse 19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." There is no love for God. There is no living for God unless God, the holy, just, almighty creator of heaven and earth, and created all that is in them, there is no love or living for God unless he does something first. He has already completed salvation for sinners. He only done this for sinners. So if you do not know yourself to be a sinner, then you have no reason to think that God has done anything for you. Because the scripture says, Christ came into the world to save sinners. I know those of this world, that is, those who are religious and those who are not. I know they do not agree with this. It is not that they do not agree with me, because it is not me that has said these things. It is what God says in his word. No matter what our friends and family say or do, those for whom God has given life will submit to and worship only this sovereign almighty God. It may cause you problems with your friends. It may cause you problems with your family. It may cause problems in your church. But if it does, then those problems need to happen. Christ says this is the way it will be in Matthew 10, beginning in verse 34. He says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." The gospel of Jesus Christ is not meant to bring everybody together. It will divide families because not everyone has life before God, by God. If you do not have this life, you will hate this truth. There is no doubt about it. It goes on to say in verse 36, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And it goes on to say in verses 37 through 39, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." If you find your life, that is, you find a way that works for you, and you deny the Jesus Christ of Scripture, you will lose your life. But if by God's grace you lose your life, that is, God shows you how dead you are, and he does this by first giving you life, because you will not know how dead you are until he first gives you life. But in this, you will see that nothing else matters but the glory to Jesus Christ the Lord. You must consider the cost. Do not make a decision lightly. As I said, this is not a game. You do not start down this path and then turn back. God will not have it. If you start down this road, there will be troubles. It is the child of God's lot that they suffer in this world. But this life is but a vapor, and it cannot be compared to the life that Jesus Christ has prepared for us in glory. That life where we can truly live for God. Don't look to things. Don't look to fallen, sinful man. Look to the only one that has done and will do what is needed. It may be that he has been pleased to allow you to serve him in love, to truly worship him, and to live for him. Now, just a reminder, every Sunday on WVVA CW, we have a portion of one of our Sunday morning messages. Or you can come and be with us here. We start at 10:30, and we're just past Little Beaver State Park on Country Club Drive, and then on Annabelle Lane. So come hear Jesus Christ and him proclaim.